probably this is still before the hour, and if you're there yet on BBS, welcome to the conference call. We have Carla Rucker on tonight. Quinn, talking about the raw materials. I don't hear the background music. Don, if you can hear me, or Derek? It's Don, right? Here we go, thank you. Nobody in the back. Good evening, and welcome. First call, please say your name and location. Hi, Daphne. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm good.
Great.
Happy
Hi, Daphne.
Happy
New Year, Daphne.
Happy New Year to you. I hear Lucy in the background. Lucy?
Lucy must have muted early today, Heiss.
Yeah, I guess so. If you can hear us, Lucy, thank you for being here. Happy New Year to you.
Heiss, Wynn had mentioned something about Carla Rucker was just recovering. Did she have the flu or something, do you know?
She had been sick from, I guess she had surgery some time ago, and then the aftermath lasted a long time for her.
Wow. Well, I'm glad she's feeling much better.
Yes.
Did you send her a bowl of chicken soup?
Repeat that?
I said, did you send her a bowl of chicken soup?
No. That was advice to Terry, right? Daphne.
Yep.
It's for you, Daphne.
This morning, but she still sounded a little under the weather.
All right. How about Wynn? Did
you
talk to Wynn?
I did. He seems like he's a little bit under the weather, too.
Yeah, he was.
We'll see
when
he gets on.
All right. So how are you, Daphne?
I'm really well. Thank you for asking me.
Right.
It's beautiful here. It's about 55.
Nice.
We were out and about yesterday in Hacking Bay, and Valerie went down to Pescadero today. And I was out with the horses, and we have an alpaca here. And an alpaca is a member of the camel family, and his
right.
name is Aloysius. And when I call his name, he just looks at me from across the field. So I'm going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Yeah. I believe we had two more people join us. So welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Thank you. This is Lucy from Orlando. Nice
Hi,
to meet
Lucy.
You.
How are you doing?
And Happy New Year to everybody there.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, Lucy.
Thank you. I will mute myself.
Thank you.
I'm too noisy.
Don't you, but you're lying. Welcome everybody. Please say your name and location.
This is Lonnie in Dallas.
Hi Lonnie, welcome to the call. How are you doing? All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Wynn in where am I? I'm in Sedona.
You sound a little bit better, Wynn.
Better than what?
Yesterday.
Everything is relative, you know.
That's right.
Oh, because yesterday I woke up and I was just waking up, right?
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that part of it, yes.
Right. I thought I did very well yesterday, all things considered.
Absolutely.
And you did.
In fact, I don't even know how I did it. I didn't do it, that's it, you know.
My email, I was thinking about playing the one from September 6th in the personal healing session, but you did well.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. Thank you. Heiss was trying to save. Heiss felt so sorry for me. She said, I'll take over, and Is Carla on the line?
Carla is not here yet, no. We had somebody else join in, and I welcome that person. Please say your name and location.
Happy New Year, Wynn. Hi, Francis from Compton, California.
Hi, Francis.
Hi, Francis. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Francis. And Wynn, Daphne is here with us.
Okay. Hello.
And I'm welcome. Please say your name and location. There we go. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Solon Hinton.
Kentucky. This was a lady, what's your name, from Kentucky?
Carla.
Carla.
Oh, hey, Carla.
Hey.
That is Daphne's music playing in the background.
Beautiful.
And by the way, we are live on BBS already.
And not only is it Daphne's music, she recorded it at your house.
You called Carla? Just said that this music, Daphne, was recorded at your house with David.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
Hang on.
I think we had...
Let me go get Terry on the line.
Right. Welcome those who have... Also, please say your name and location.
Hi, Happy New Year, everyone. It's Colleen in Vancouver.
Hi, Colleen. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Happy Hug Day.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, hi. It's Dave from Atlantic City.
Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. Hello, Daphne. This is Teddy from New York.
Hey, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Happy New Year.
Good evening. Please say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Hey, Ron. Welcome to the call. Good. How are you doing?
Just fine.
All right. More people
happy
have joined?
Happy New Year. Hi, this is Eric in Phoenix, Arizona.
Eric, Happy New Year to you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Lisa from Mission Viejo. Happy New Year.
Hello, Lisa. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Steve in Fremont.
Hello, Steve from Fremont. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi, this is Don from Brexel.
Hello from Brexel. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you.
Being here.
I am back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. Let's see. We are about to start. It is 7:03, and just a moment.
I got it, Ben.
You got it? Okay.
Tell me when you're ready for the recording.
Just one moment.
So we have Carla, your present.
Yes.
And Daphne's present. Hello, Daphne. You are a moderator, right?
Hang on a second.
No, you know what? Daphne, oh, Daphne, you're muted. Hold on. Hey, Daphne?
Hi.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is December 31st, 2012, Wynn Free and Carla Ruckert, and this call is going to be centered around this discussion that Carla and I have been doing for the past couple of months, where we have been taking parts of the raw material apart and trying to interpret them. You know, most people, when they first look at the raw material, they find that it's over their head. Is that a way to say it, Carla? It is.
You say it's a little intense.
Pardon me?
It's a little intense.
It's intense. It's over. It's complicated. It's like concepts that are hard to assimilate. They're so far out of the way we normally think about things. But let me say, just before we got on this call, Daphne and I got into a big argument because she said, how can you do a serious call on New Year's Eve? It should be a party. So, Daphne, are you there?
Hey, am I here? I have to speak up for myself. I didn't say
yeah,
that
I can hear
party.
You.
I said...
You said it should be, said it should be a party.
Well, let's put on our hats.
I said that this should be a time of celebration and acknowledgement. I didn't say, just let's have a party.
Well, I think a time of celebration and acknowledgement is a party.
Well, okay. I mean...
Now, I want you guys... To know.
This Christmas win, so I was thinking, well, at least we can get New Year's Eve in.
Carla, I've renamed this segment of our Monday shows All in the Family with a Twist.
Well, Daphne, do you remember that weekend that you and David were recording? And David spent the entire weekend.
I certainly do. And my mother was always wanting to drag you out to some nice restaurant.
Yes, well, she was dragging us out to see pretty houses, and then we'd end up because she was thirsty and hungry, and we'd go to a restaurant because we were out of food because I had a broken foot, and I couldn't cook. But what I was remembering about it was that David spent the entire weekend, except for the last day, getting the software ready, and you and your mom and Vara and I were stuck. We were just trying to think of things to do to pass the time. It was amazing.
Go ahead, Daphne.
I was recalibrating my remembrance of being there at the house, and I remember David was a late sleeper. He'd stay up most of the night, and he'd get up around noon time. He was in his own zone there.
Yeah, he had his own little sleep cycle thing going, and then he had to do his journal.
Right.
But he and my mother
got into a little bit of a. It wasn't an altercation so much as she made some comment, and David came back at her with some sarcasm, and she didn't know how to handle it. So after that, I think she was a bit afraid of him.
Okay, guys, you see what I mean by the All in the Family.
but we had a good time, didn't we? I mean, you made some pretty music, and your mom and Vara and I set out and saw a lot of pretty houses.
We had a wonderful time, Carla.
We had a good time, yeah.
Transcribers.
I'm sorry I didn't get up to see you when I was in Atlanta this last pass through, but you never know. Never know.
You never do. Well, God bless your mom, and I'm glad to talk to you.
God bless you, Carla.
Thank you, sweetheart.
God bless you.
You know,
That's the thing about families. We do love each other.
Yes, we do.
If we didn't love each other, we wouldn't bother arguing, right?
Right.
We'd be going, whatever. So let's have celebration. Let me think. Oh, I do celebrate you, Wynn, and you, Daphne, and everything that makes us come to this moment. Thank you, Lord, for being here, for being able. We're finally past that 2012 whatever thing, and I am so glad because I felt the changes. I felt the calibrations going, and I felt the things that were happening, but nobody that was looking for something to happen in the physical was satisfied. But I was thrilled to death, and I think a lot of people are, that were working in the spiritual, were working in the metaphysical, and did feel those wonderful new energies. Not just come in, because they've been trying to come in for some time. But being able to come in without any real resistance, because it's time, you know, it's now time. And so we are getting the most beautiful energies if we just know how to use them. The problem always is that it takes courage to face yourself. And with these new vibrations comes the ability to process a tremendous amount of information. And some of that information is about our shadow side. And a lot of people don't want to look at the shadow side. So that's really the deal, is if you get the shadow side going, you just say, okay, I love you. I love you, shadow side. Let's deal with it. Let's go into it. Let's go right through the middle of it. Come out the other side and hug the wolf. You know, and the wolf is no longer a threat. The wolf is part of us, and we can set that wolf to doing positive things.
You know,
well said.
All of us, me as well.
Yeah, that's fine. It's just the light is speaking was so light, it's almost impossible to pick up.
Well, you know what?
Well,
I'm just going to
have the microphone right at my mouth, so I don't know what else to do.
I'm just going to have to dominate the show.
There you go, Wynn.
and go
my
back to the.
All the way up. So. Is that better?
I hear you okay.
It is minor, but very little, so very little. I just don't know what
it is. Can you do on your end? Because I'm stuck.
Sorry?
Anything you can do on your end? Because
I can't.
I'm
sure I can't.
Everything. Yeah.
Doug, do we have a show on it?
No, you don't have a show afterwards.
So we can go on a little longer if we want to.
Okay, go on a little longer, yes.
Okay, great. Because we have a very dynamic team here. And a very dynamic audience who has chosen to spend New Year's Eve with us. And my momentous New Year's Eve, my most momentous was when I was in high school. And I had a date, one of my few dates in high school. And I dropped the lady off, and we had been drinking. One of the only times I drank, and I went on to have a head-on collision with a guy that was more drunk than me. And I think I haven't gone out on New Year's Eve since then, okay?
Wise choice.
Yeah. But I'm going to go right back into the raw material. I was just going to give one little personal note that I don't think I ever shared. And that when those of you who read the Creator God book know a little bit of the story of how this started with Daphne and Terry, and that Daphne and I had been together for 6 months, and she left and was at her aunt's house. And I guess it was 4 months later, Her aunt was this very protective, spinster, very nice lady, former doctor, who had graciously taken Daphne in, who was under what we call negative attacks when she was with me and couldn't figure out how to get out of them. And some months later, Daphne and I were talking, and she said, maybe what we were doing was really important. Maybe we should get together. So we picked a weekend that her aunt was out of town, and I flew to Atlanta, picked Daphne up, and we said, we should go visit Carla on the way back. And David was at Carla's house at the time, and I had never met David up to that point, although we had talked writing the book, working on the book. So we got to Louisville, Kentucky, which is where Carla is. Actually, it's a suburb of Louisville, right, Carla?
That's right. It's called Anchorage.
Anchorage. And we were driving by Carla's house, and it was probably about 10 p.m. or something. And we were going to get a motel, and Daphne said, let's go say hello to Carla. She had already been at the house and had recorded some stuff there. And I said, no, we can't go there without calling. Particularly, David was so protective of his privacy. And I felt that he would feel invaded if we just showed up without making some prior arrangements. Well, Daphne jumped out of the car and knocked on the door. And I don't think David talked to me for the rest of the visit there. And we were staying in this motel, and we were doing sessions in the motel. And in the sessions, they kept saying, make a good connection with Carla. You and Carla can work really well together. And at the time, I was fairly intimidated by Carla. As not that you... It's hard to believe. Well, you know what? Your reputation preceded you. And if you ever look up Carla on the internet, you will see so many people have been influenced by her work. So many people have called her the epitome of channeled material. And that they kept telling me, make a connection with Carla. And I think I would say that at that time, I didn't feel worthy of this kind of connection we're having now. And I didn't feel worthy in general. But, you know, for those of you who stay tuned to these calls, you find out that really they have me doing this because I'm a really good example of a clod who pushed himself through his own obstacles. And learned how, still learning, but learned how to let this light energy flow through me and clear these patterns that I had been going through my entire life. And so on the level of really creating affinity and that I thought we would have when we went to do that visit, it didn't happen. And it's
because
interesting.
Because it happened with us, because I can remember you and I sitting. We went out to a dive. I loved this place. It was a place where they had good music on the weekend, and it was, at the time, it was just a dive. That's all there was to it. I loved it, though. And you could get a great burger there, and you and I sat down, and we had burgers, and we talked, and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I really did. That's what I remember about it.
I remember that.
I didn't catch the angst. You know, I was happy. And
I remember.
David was walled
yeah,
up
ahead.
In his room like, oh, I'm so scared. He's going to come up and get me. El Wimpo.
Well, we love you, David.
Well, we do love you, David, but let's face it.
And you know,
that wasn't your finest moment.
He's done a fine job being out in the world and rattling a lot of people's cages. And
yeah, Kentucky just wasn't his town. You know, he really needed to get to Hollywood where he could sort of expand a bit.
Right. I was concerned. One of the things I was concerned about is that in that period of time, even though there were all these sessions coming through Daphne that were just amazing, I said, maybe this is something negative that's trying to take over, that's trying to intrude itself. And I was afraid Carla might think that, and David, I'm sure, did think that and at the time. So I didn't feel like a confident person talking about this work or the channeling. In fact, I was kind of like sharing it with Carla and kind of looking for some kind of validation through Carla. And I was getting it. She was giving it to me. Daphne, since we're talking about this, anything you want to share about that experience?
Well, you know, being in the middle of it, you know, as I was,
along with you and Perry. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy being in it. You know, first off, you know, where do you look for stabilization? If you were to look at, you know, traditional kind of Western forms, it was hard because I was experiencing so much of the negative greeting type stuff, which is extremely, you know, hard to deal with. And you do ask yourself, you know, well, if this is so good, why am I feeling so bad? You know, having come through that, being on the other side of it, I see that it's, David always used the word, and maybe Carly uses it too, catalyst. It's just tremendous catalyzation. And it's interesting that Carla brought up what she did about making friends with your shadow, because indeed, I think that is what's on the plate, you know, for a lot of people right now. It's all us. It's all us. You know, everything we experience, it's some aspect, it's some facet. And depending on where we hold our integrity and how much we've been able to resolve and synthesize polarity inside of ourselves, we can choose where to stay in balance, where to stay in that point of equilibrium. And but I mean, it's been quite an arduous journey. I'm glad that part of it is kind of behind me. But you know, there are always new challenges. You never stop evolving, from what I'm understanding. It just continues to spiral on and upward. What do you think about that, Carla?
Well, when I was doing the Ra sessions, I had constant psychic greeting, and it was I was in a very stable situation. You know, I wasn't at all floating. I was in a stable situation with both Don and Jim. There was a tremendous amount of love. I was very settled, and I knew that this was a wonderful situation. These were the golden days, and I just couldn't wait until I did the next session, because my baby, Don, was just, I mean, you call a 6.5-foot guy a baby. It's obviously from my point of view, but I loved him so much, and he was a melancholy man. He thought this planet was crazy. He thought he was in an insane asylum. He said all you could hope for was a private room. And I never saw him happy a single day except when we were doing the Law of One session. And he was happy and chirpy. You know, it was wonderful. I was just so happy to do it. But it was the kind of psychic greeting that was, it wasn't just, you know, okay, you have physical problems now. All your physical problems are being emphasized. And I had a lot of physical problems in the first place, so they had a ball with all those. It was things like I would be out walking, and I'd look both ways to cross the street, see nothing. And if somebody hadn't been with me, I would have walked right into the path of a truck I didn't see. Or I would be out walking, and I would not be able to breathe. And I thought to myself, okay, it's a psychic greeting. All I'll do is I'll eventually lose consciousness, and then they won't be able to do this anymore, and I'll be all right. You know, so I was just walking along. Things were getting gray, you know. And apparently they let go because I refused to be afraid. So I didn't actually have to lose consciousness. But that was the kind of psychic greeting that I was getting. And I didn't care. I just didn't care. I wanted so much to see Don happy one more time. And, like, if it killed me, I didn't care. I loved that man with my whole heart and soul, and, you know, mind and strength. And I just wanted to see that man happy one more time. So that was what do you call it when it's two things at once? Coincidence. Jim's here. He said coincidence, but it was being happy at the same time that I was being tremendously challenged. Let's put it that way.
Dual motivations.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the motivation that always stuck with me was the motivation of love. And that's why they couldn't get at me. That's why, no matter what they did, they could not stop it. because I loved, and I was totally focused on love and loving that man and loving the work I did. And since he died, it's still there. For one thing, he's with me. Every time I tune up to channel, he's with me. He's part of the Holy Spirit that I call to myself, you know, for balance when I channel. And for the other thing, you can't imagine how many people, like you said, went all over the world have written in, say, oh my gosh, this material has made such a difference. Thank you so much. And that just lifts me up for the whole day, you know. I'm so thankful mm-hmm. that I have been able to serve. And that's all I ever wanted to do, and it's all I ever do want to do. So that's why I've been at this pop stand for so long, is that it's so rewarding and so blessed. I do feel totally blessed here. And I haven't been able to channel for the last couple of years because I've been taking pain medication. And people say, oh, that's okay, you'll be all right. But I know that when I tune up to channel, I'll just go to sleep. That's the pain then. You know, I cannot mm-hmm. hold a really deep focus. So one of these days, my back is going to heal up, and it's going to be sewn up. And I'm going to be, you know, able to do without the pain medication, and we'll get back to it. But for right now, it's such a blessing that things that I've already done have continued to touch new people, and new people are writing in all the time. So that's just such a blessing. So I'm always moving from love. That's the whole deal with me. And it's hard for me to imagine anybody being intimidated by me, I'm a little Episcopalian lady, used to be a librarian, and, you know, I've done some work in this area, yeah, and I've been here for a long time, uh-huh, but I'm still me, you know, and we're all bozos, so thanks, Wynn, for finally getting through that, because we work better when you're not doing that intimidation thing.
Well, thank you. It's all right. It's just, that's, you know...
That's where you were.
Well, what I find really interesting, the fact that I've gone through so many things in this life, and really gone through and I won't say conquered them, but mastered them, okay? I don't think you ever conquer things like they disappear. But
no,
you learn how to... You learn how to work around them. You learn that they don't block you. They're just there, and you skate around them. And it gives me a lot of wisdom in order to be able to help other people. Because I think when you're sitting behind your obstacles, there's some part of you that thinks you can just make them vanish. And everything will be okay. And that's not been my experience. They don't vanish. They get smaller, and you work around them. And then you amaze yourself because you realize you can do things that you couldn't do before. Now, the topic tonight, we decided, is because we've just gone through the December 21st date, is to take some of the quotes from the raw material and try to turn them into language that makes it really easy for everyone to understand. And this material, if it's accurate, which I think it is, one of the things that convinced me that it was accurate is that when I first started reading the raw material and the Wilcock material, my mind kept saying, can this be real? And when Daphne came into my life and started bringing through messages, I kept asking about all this material that was coming through Carla, and they would answer and give exactly the same answer to a question that was coming through Carla. And it was like getting a second opinion, and, you know, that was just dropped in my lap. And I remember thinking...
That's a lot of validation, well, wasn't it, Wynn?
That was a lot of validation, and it was a little scary, because it's one thing to sit there and say, well, here's what Ra says, and you can make up your own mind. But now, here's what Elohim says, and they're saying exactly the same thing, and they're even confirming who Ra is. I said, man, this is a lot of responsibility. How do you deal with this? And I guess this is how I'm dealing with it now. This is now 10 years later from the time it first happened for me. Well, actually, 12 years. It was 12 years that I ran into Wilcox, discovered Carla, and 10 years that I ran into Daphne, and I scratched my head for about 5 or 6 years saying, how do you do this? How do you put this out into the world? And one of the reasons having the kind of conversation that the four of us are having right now is important is because I know when you just read material and you don't know the people, you wonder if the people made it up or if they had an agenda. When I was younger, I read lots of spiritual books with people having miracles, and I said, did those things really happen? He has such a sincere face. And yet, I have no experience in my life that this is possible. And so, the manner in which we're sharing this now, someday there's going to be people who have that attitude. And they're going to listen to this kind of part of the talk. And they're going to say, those are real people. And they're all validating each other's experience, and they have no agendas. And that's the importance of this kind of conversation, this part of it. Because now we're going to go move into talking about the actual meaning of this shift. And most humans think of themselves as a body that's on Earth, that's going through their struggles on life. They don't think of themselves as an evolving soul in a body that's going through thousands of lifetimes, perhaps, of which this is one of them, and that they're going somewhere in all these lifetimes. And the raw material explains this process in quite great detail, and it gives you a whole other perspective on how to view what seemed to be your little life on Earth with all its dilemmas and all its problems and all its challenges from a much greater vantage point. So what is this shift? I'm going to put this in my words. I'm going to put it in my simple Wynn language and say that the whole universe is made up of one energy, and this energy recombines, and what that energy is somewhat of a mystery. Some people call it the unity field, some people call it prana, some people call it shakti, some people call it chi, some people call it Holy Spirit. But even the rocks, the mountains, and our bodies are different configurations and concentrations of this energy. And as I understand it, the energy starts at the center of the universe and then moves through the universe, and everything is constantly recreated via this movement of energy. And the energy, as it moves through the universe, is impacted by everything that it moves through before it gets to hit planet Earth. And we all have, some of you may be familiar with how astrology works. And in astrology, the movement of that energy is explained how it goes through its modifications as it passes through the fields of the planet based on their various locations. So we have this energy moving through the planets, And they're in the locations that are described by different constellations, and the quality of the energy changes by the time it gets to the Earth. And then we have something called DNA, and DNA is programmed by this energy. So when the energy hits the DNA of a newborn fetus, it programs the DNA. So the DNA now holds a mini microcosm of the entire universe at the moment of birth. And that's called your astrology chart. In fact, both Daphne and I, earlier in our lives, were astrologers. And it was one of the things I did when I was a physics major that made me say this really worked, because I couldn't believe it worked. I couldn't understand how a planetary position millions of miles away could affect life on Earth. And now I understand it in a big picture. Well, aside from the planets that this energy moves through, the energy is moving through galaxies. It's starting at the center of everything, and it's moving through the galaxies and the Milky Way. And everything it moves through is changing its characteristics. Now, with planets, the characteristics change rather quickly, especially with the planets that are closer to the sun, because they move faster. In fact, with the moon, it changes the fastest, because the moon goes through its cycles in a month really quickly. Mercury goes through its cycles in how long, Daphne, is the cycle of Mercury?
Oh, a couple it's 88 years. 88 days around the sun.
88 days. Venus is longer. And then when you get out to Pluto, it becomes in the matter of years. And so now when we're moving through galaxies, the quality of the energy changes over thousands of years. And so it's much harder to measure on the Earth, because within your lifetime, it doesn't shift. It stays relatively the same. It is shifting, but certainly not like the Moon, Mercury, or Venus, or Mars. Well, these galactic changes in what controls this energy have cycles. And they have a 75,000-year cycle and a 25,000-year cycle. And December 21st, 2012, was a galactic configuration that created the maximum energy to ever get to this planet in 25,000 years, and I think actually there's a larger cycle than 75,000 years. And so because that's happening, it's created a lot of change in this period of time. And the change could be looked at as catalytic, and it could also be looked at as opportunity. And for those of us who are becoming aware of this, how this works, there's certainly a huge opportunity here that you can take advantage of if you know how. And that's why this is so important, because what we're talking about is not just your success in this lifetime, and your ability to meet your obstacles in this lifetime. We're talking about changing your path to possibilities that will affect all of your future lifetimes from this point on. And that is what the raw material, one of the things that all this information about this cycle end and this shift is so valuable now because it's telling us, it's teaching us how we can change things for our future. And it's not, you can't figure that out just being in a body as a human, because the cycles are too long and you may not see the changes in a profound way. You will see changes. You will see changes in your life, but you won't realize how profound the significance is of what's going on. And that's my introduction. I hope that made sense. Carla, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, there is, because I think that if it were just a matter of changing, it sounds as though there weren't actually a purpose there, and there is. These changes have been seen over and over again, because we're out towards the edge of the galaxy, so there have been a lot of experiments in how these changes work that have been looked over by what the raw material called Logoi, or we could call them sun, or masters of a certain amount of ability to add to the basic plan of the creator to make things in a certain way. Now, by the time they got here, there was an experiment that said, let's maximize freedom of will. So there is really no help much from spirit as far as changing over from living a life in the body to deciding to live by faith and living a life very much out of the box. You could, Ra described this basically as a school of souls. And we described each density as like a grade. And we're in third grade. We've been in third grade for 75,000 years. And the culmination of this 75,000 years of the density of choice, which is what the raw material calls this particular 75,000 cycle, is that we make a choice for either service to self or service to others. We make a choice for either love or fear. And depending on what choice we have made, we can go on to fourth density positive or fourth density negative. Or if we haven't made a choice at all yet, we can repeat third grade. Now in fourth grade, it's very tempting to get on to fourth grade, because you know in a new grade you get all kinds of new information. And you get, you know, new subjects and new, it's just fun to get into a more mature spiritual environment and have just lots of more choices on the menu as to how you're going to serve, which is the basic question always in the school of soul. So here we are in our last incarnation in third density. The sun's going down, gone down on third density. When we die, we will be walking steps of light to see how have we done in choosing to serve. How polarized have we gotten? And each step of light is a little bit more dense with light than last. And at one point, unknown to us when we're walking steps of light, of course, we go from third to fourth density. But all we know is that we're just walking the steps of light. That process is guarded carefully by the angels and by other entities, planetary entities, and also entities from outside the planet, to make sure that nobody gets lost, everybody is safe walking these steps of light. And you stop where the light is too intense to go forward anymore. This is all the light you can handle. If that light has crossed over into fourth density, you've graduated. And if you've graduated in the positive sense of service to others, you're going to be able to stay right here on Earth and enjoy fourth density Earth. If you've become a negative entity who has graduated, you will go to another planet which is enjoying fourth density negative. And if you are going to have to repeat the grade, you'll go to another planet also, so that you can repeat, you know, the 75,000 years of McDonald's. And that's not actually so bad, really. It's nothing like what everyone has talked about in the various world religions of hell and all of those things. This is not a philosophy which discusses heaven and hell. Basically, the raw material suggests that you can create heaven where you are, or you can create hell. And that's just in the way that you take hold of things, the way you live your life, the choices that you make. If you make them all for love, if you make them all for positive values, grace, beauty, joy, thanksgiving. If you live that kind of life, if you're encouraging that kind of emotion within yourself, then surely you shall graduate. Because that is heaven right there. But you can have that here, even before you die and you get a whole new shot at a DNA that can handle fourth-density light. We can't really handle fourth-density light very well. What we can do is use it to the best of our ability. But, you know, the wonderful things that are waiting for us in fourth-density are not ours yet, because we're dragging around, I should say that differently, we are dancing in a physical body, which is a heavy chemical set of reactions. The body is a chemical still, and it takes all the food that we eat, it creates energy, and it dumps the stuff that it can't use. The next incarnation that we have, if we're going on to fourth density, we will have a light body. It will not be a necessity to have a chemical body. And so we will be able to dance with ever so much more lightness and freedom. And it's going to be a joy. I'm looking forward to it. But there are things I'm here, you know, in the meantime. So I'm not saying, oh, let's get on with it. Gee, I wish that I were on with it now. I don't. I want to be right here. This is the boot camp that I chose to be part of. And I want to work hard and do the best I can to lighten the consciousness of the planet Earth. That's what we're all here for. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, I wanted to make whatever I hear you say, well, it's just a matter of, are you choosing service to self or service to others? Are you choosing love or are you choosing fear? When I hear that, this thing goes off of me that says, I don't think people understand. Because it's when you say it's a choice, I don't think in many cases people experience how to make a choice. And I wanted to clarify how I think that choice is made into manifestation. It's not like one day you get up and say, okay, I want to graduate. I'm going to be service to others, and thank you, God, I'm ready. Take me when you want. I think that the way it works is you have to take your day and you have to look at all the opportunities you have in your day to make decisions. And you have to start making the decisions that create caring for others. And you don't have to do this perfectly. I mean, you don't have to be all mushy love, I'm service to others, what can I do for you, can I help you? You just have to do it 51%, so to speak. That's what they say, and that qualifies you. Slightly more than half. And
I've got a good example of that, Wynn. You want to hear it?
Go ahead.
My uncle, Marion, who was one of the most spiritually mature people I ever met in my life, was driving on the expressway one time, and he was passing an entrance ramp, and a guy was bombing up the entrance ramp at top speed. And in order to avoid a crash, Marion had to jump on the brakes with everything he had. I got a sprained wrist out of it because I was in the back seat. And at that point, they didn't have seat belts in the back seat. But what he said was, as he was braking heavily to let this guy in, was, okay, buddy, there's room for you too. He made the choice of love at a time when there didn't seem to be any love in the situation.
Right. I mean, there's so many ways that everyone has that those opportunities every day. It could be as simple as walking down the street and picking up a banana peel so someone else doesn't trip on it. You know, it could be calling your aunt who you haven't seen for 20 years because it would cheer her up. It could be knocking on your neighbor's door and say, you know what, it's New Year's, I made you some cookies here. And you have to do these things with no guile, no payback, but for the pure joy of doing them. And as you do them, you start building up points. But you can't even do them to build up points, but that's just what happens. You start building up an assimilation of points, and before you know it, you're doing things second naturally, and you're starting to understand the joy that comes back to you from doing those things, because you don't realize it when you're doing it. I mean, picking up a banana peel may not feel like a big joyous experience, but it's a point. And all these points start putting little acupuncture into your system where there was darkness. And before you know it, you're feeling differently. Your energy patterns are different. And how do you choose love over fear? Well, on some days, you're going to wake up fearful. And I think that, yes, things can happen in this realm. Things can hit the fan. And if they do, you'll deal with it when you get there. But in the meantime, if you anticipate it, you're only going to be in fear wherever you're going. And we're all going to die. And whether we die sooner or later, we're going to die. Now, if you're sitting around waiting and worrying about when you're going to die, you're in fear. I thought one of the really good examples of choosing love over fear was that scene in the Titanic where everyone was jumping into the lifeboats, crazy screaming, and there was this band playing, and they were happy-go-lucky. They all died anyway, but guess which ones graduated? Remember that scene, Carla?
I didn't see the movie, but I heard about it. Yes, that sounds like a beautiful example.
It was a beautiful example. They looked crazy because everyone else was panicked. And I think that's a really good example of how it looks and how you actually implement love over fear and service to others over service to self. And realizing you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to curse yourself every time you operate out of a lower motivation, because everyone will, everyone does. You just need a little more of the positive than the negative to keep moving forward in your evolutionary path. That's how I would look at it. There was another thought that came to my mind that seemed important, but I'm trying to think, I think I lost it. If it comes back, it comes back. And so it's just kind of a self-discipline to observe yourself and not judge yourself.
I want to share something here because that's perfect. I've been in bed for almost 3 years now. Can't get out, lost the ability to walk because I've had more damage to my spine since the two operations. And there's no way I'm going to get operated on again. I haven't healed from the second operation in 20 months. I don't think I'm a good candidate. So, you know, I can't walk anymore. But if I tune myself, if I see myself starting to spiral down, how am I going to ever, you know, walk again? Well, I'm not going to walk again, blah, blah, blah. I start counting my blessings. It's a it's a positive choice to tune yourself up to the day. I start counting my blessings. You know, I've got so many of them. I sing some of my favorite hymns because I'm an Episcopalian lady. I love them. Some of my favorite prayers. And, you know, it's so easy to let yourself spiral down. And it takes some discipline to tune yourself up. But every time that you do it, you reap the harvest of it immediately because you've put yourself in a whole different world. You're vibrating with less distortion, as Ra would say. The energy of the Creator can come through you better. Your heart's open. And you get that heart open, man, and everything's all right. It doesn't matter. One person can walk, some person can't walk. Well, I've got my feet. Some people don't even have their feet. You know, some people have them amputated because of diabetes or something. So there's always somebody that's a lot worse off than you are. And there's no use thinking about the people that are better off because there's nobody better off than a person with a heart full of love.
Thank you. So I'm looking here at a couple quotes from the raw material on harvest. And I thought I'd just read them, and we'll bring them up for discussion. And this was Don Elkins who was making up these questions. Carla was talking about him earlier. And he was really, really smart. And he could make up a question and then make up the next question based on the answer to the first question. So it was really an interview with Ra. Wouldn't you say that, Carla?
I would. And the thing of it is, if you've never heard Ra speak, sometimes they are so hard to understand. It's like, what did you say? But Don was so smart. He was very smart. And so experienced. As a researcher, too, that he was familiar with a lot of different concepts, that he would go with him. He would go with Ra. And so, of course, it makes the conversation go here and there and everywhere. But, he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, at this physicist's mind, this scientist's mind, you know, sitting there looking at creation and saying, why? What's going on? And finding out that some of the answers are actually akin to physics.
There were actually many things in the raw material that hadn't been discovered yet, or that you certainly didn't know about, that other people have brought up. David did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. That there was actually scientific.
And a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah. There was scientific validation for many of the things. This is why it's so important to study this material, because even if it's hard to understand, even if you read one paragraph at a time and contemplate it the whole day, it starts to have a residual built-up, an influence, because this is not a fairy tale. Although the first time you hear it, it sounds like a fairy tale, and you have to ask yourself, where did this come from? And there really is a group soul that's named Ra. They're really paying attention to us. They're really wanting to help us. They honor free will, and they answer our requests. You can feel them. Can you feel Ra around you, Carla?
All the time.
Yeah. You can learn to feel them around you. And it's not like somebody sits in your room and you see them, but you feel a presence close to you. It's very interesting, and I'm pointing this out, that the feeling of the Ra group around you is quite different than the feeling of the Elohim group. Because the Elohim group are far away, and visiting. And the rock group is, for me, they're like close in. You know, when I talk about it, I start to feel them. And they just, I'll show them, here we are. And some of you may have felt like sensations around your body. And you can start to just explore the possibility that maybe that was them. And maybe they were visiting you. So here, I'm going to read something of their words. Am I to understand? Now, the rock group, through Carla, used the word harvest. And, of course, you'll know Jesus used the word harvest. There will be a harvest. And, personally, I don't like the word harvest. I resisted that when I first read it, because it sounds like you're wheat in the field and somebody's going to cut you. And I like the word graduation. But what they're really saying, but I understand the word harvest, because it means actually that your light energy is going above the veil where it's compressed, and you're visible to these higher beings when you're above that. And that's one of the things that happens when you have a spiritual gathering, any kind of real spiritual gathering, and this is a spiritual gathering. The fact that we're gathering and coalescing energies is allowing us to expand so we become visible to the higher realms. We are not buried in the dark shadows that can hold this planet in check. And so, understanding the word harvest there, am I to understand the harvest will occur in the year 2011, or will it be spread out? I am Ra. That's the way Carla would always answer when they would speak through her. I am Ra. This is an approximation. We have stated we have difficulty with your time-space. This is an appropriate, probable, possible time-space nexus for harvest. Those who are not in incarnation at the time will be included in the harvest. Now, one of the things that a lot of people question is, does that mean this is going to be an event that happens all at once? Is it going to be like, boom, there's the harvest, and here's the people that graduated, and here's the people that are left behind? And do you have any comments on that, Carla?
I think that a lot of people have been all too influenced, if they're interested in the subject, by people who wanted to take some of this important idea and sort of plaster it sort of over themselves, as if they could be part of it. There's ego working there, I think. But be that as it may, there have been a lot of people that felt that there was going to be a discontinuous harvest, like, boom, poof, we're out of here. And there were a lot of people on our radio show on Friday night that were really disappointed because nothing physical happened. And you see, it's a metaphysical event. Why should anything physical happen at a metaphysical event? And I had been saying this for years, because that's the way the raw material comes down. But it's just, you know, there will always be people that want to make it a more dramatic thing than it really is, or make it dramatic in a way that people can understand more easily. It's not that easy to understand that this is a spiritual event. But I do think that probably those who are not in incarnation at this time have chosen at this time to walk the steps of light and remove themselves from the cycle of reincarnation. that the exception to this are probably those who are involved in working with people that are in incarnation as their masters, you know, their unseen advisors. There are a lot of spiritual advisors that are devoted to helping the people here, and I don't think that they're going to walk the steps of light until the last person that's, you know, a real third density person closes the door and they'll say, okay, my work is done, I'm going too. But I think a lot of people in the inner realm, in between the incarnations, chose at this time to go ahead and walk the steps of light and graduate. So I imagine I can feel a cleanliness about the inner realm that wasn't there previously. And I think that has happened. But that's just a sense of things, and I'm not at all psychic. So somebody like Daphne is much, or Terry, both of those are much more psychic than I am and are much more able to speak on this subject.
Well, I had asked a lot of questions about this. One of the things that I believe has happened in the past few years is that this idea of having an event happen all at once is very compelling. And from a marketing standpoint, it kind of creates a lot of urgency. So if you can create to someone else that you have the keys to this all-at-once event, then it's not too hard to sell them something. And there's a lot of people that channel. And as we said, as I have learned, that because someone uses the word ascension, because they use the word love and light, because they use the word mother, father, God, does not mean they're positive. Because the negative knows exactly how to mimic the words to grab you. And so a lot of times people hear these words and then they think everyone that's using them is the same. We're all on the same boat. We're all in the same, you know, platform, but we're not. And but in my questions about how this worked, what I was told was that, yes, it would be possible for some people to leave this realm with their bodies in an all-at-once event. But in order to do that, all of your chakras had to be slightly more than half open. You see, what happens is the link is made in the higher realm to your physical body, and your energy has to be flowing into the other realms for that to occur. And if your energy is not flowing there, your body can't get pulled through. So it was said there was only going to be a very small percentage group of people that would qualify for this all of one event. But there would be many, many, many people who would qualify for what they termed an astral ascension, which meant you would die a physical death and your heart chakra was open. And because your heart chakra was open, you would be moved, your energy would move into the astral, and they would have various angels and beings working with you and complete it so that you finished third density. You didn't have to come back. And there was one other possibility that came up, and this is a rather unusual one. Did that make sense to you, Carla?
Sure.
Yeah. The other possibility was that the negative really, really took control down here. They started to win. And according to my information, there has always been the possibility that the negative could win at the lower levels. Because there's a vote being taking place, and I do believe there are enough people of positive predisposition that the negative, you could never say the negative is won now, but the tables could turn. They could manage to sneak through some event that created so much fear that even though the energy is flowing down here, people couldn't receive it because of the fear. And I do know that the positive sources in other realms are working very hard to prevent any event like that from happening. But I could say they're all human, but that would not be the right way to say it. But things slip through the cracks, and it's not so cut and dry, the future. Although some people say it is, and I hope they're right. The people that are saying the negative is defeated, there's nothing to worry about, I hope that's correct.
Well, I think it is correct, but I think that there was a time of question, and that is simply because people began to be willing to blow each other up to the point where a planetary event might occur that would blow everybody up. And
right.
There would be nothing left. And that would definitely create such an atmosphere of fear that
right.
out of it. So no, it's not that there would be somebody from the outside coming in and creating fear. It would be that our military thought it was so important to step up to the plate and bomb the other side that we would bomb them and they would bomb us and everything would turn into what Carl Sagan used to call it nuclear winter. And,
right.
you know, no people left.
Right. Well,
a way of living. So that would definitely create an atmosphere of complete fear. It's
well,
possible,
but
I don't think it's going to happen at this point.
What was said is that things came to that point, the higher groups, particularly the Ra group, would be pulling people out of their bodies that qualified before their souls disintegrated.
Well, they didn't have to qualify. Everybody qualified.
Well, I guess everybody qualified. I don't know. But what I mean is...
they wouldn't let anybody's light body be destroyed.
Right,
physical
right.
body, that's easy to have another one of those. The light body, that's something else again.
Yeah.
And in the case of Maldek, at the point at which... planet bombed itself out of existence. They did pull the entire population off the planet and save the soul. But they were in a knot of fear. This is raw material stuff. They were
right.
in a knot of fear that took thousands and thousands of years to begin to loosen so that anybody could talk to them and relieve their anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very long process for those involved in it.
Now, I hope you guys are hearing who this Ra group actually is, okay? Because I know at one point, if I imagined a group of ascended beings, I would think of a bunch of guys sitting around at a table with beards and things, bringing all this wisdom into this planet. Now, the Ra group brings immense wisdom, if you read the Ra material, but to go a little deeper, they are energies that can move souls from one place to another. They can help contribute to the evolution of your soul. They are very much involved, as I get it, with this entire process, more so than the Elohim group. And they are paying attention. There's millions and millions or billions of Ra group members, millions. So they have plenty of help up there for as much as needed or asked for down here. They're not too busy. They only live to do this. And that we are honored to be the recipients. Now, you don't have to be the recipients of their words to get their help. You only need to have a high intent and an open heart. But the value of getting their direct counsel over and over again, the source that's in charge of the administration of this entire event that's occurring is, you guys are here listening, count your blessings, because it is rare to find this, and it's rarer to recognize it, and if you're here, you've done both, and I wanted to just underscore that so you don't miss what's actually happening. And I'm speaking for myself here. I don't know, Carla, anything you want to say on that?
Well, I think that the Confederation of Angels and Planets and the service of the Infinite Creator, of which Ra is only a small part, are all...
It's bigger than Ra.
...are all devoted to the prospect of helping planet Earth. They call themselves sometimes the brothers and sisters of sorrow because they feel the sorrow of planet Earth. They feel the many, many people that have gone, Lord, what has happened here? What can we do? What is going on? I don't understand all the difficulty. It should be a much more beautiful life than this. Look at how beautiful the creation is. Why can't we create in our human way? Why can't we create that kind of beauty? And we really do. If you look anywhere, you see people that are just would do anything for you, give you the shirt off of their back. Women that have taken care of their husbands when they were, you know, crippled, or vice versa, husbands that have taken care of their wives. People are so loving, and it's so widespread. So we have tremendous amounts to be thankful for, but in terms of those unseen friends, there is not just the robbers, not just even the Confederation, but all the angels. Now, it all sounds a little silly if you don't believe in angels, and if you think that extraterrestrials are not there and they don't speak to people, but I'll tell you something. I have been channeling for something like 40 years, and I could not possibly, on my best day, if it was my best day every day for 40 years, I couldn't move that kind of volume of information through. I don't have that kind of mind. I'm really, you know, I think pretty shallow compared to the kind of thing that comes through me when I'm channeling. You know, I like to read romances. I like to go shopping for clothes. I mean, you know, I am not what you call your real dedicated spiritual person that is going to be able to make this kind of stuff up himself. So I personally am convinced that the angels and the planets do exist. And that they are very real presences in our lives, and that what we need to do is open ourselves to that possibility and let ourselves turn to the silence just a little bit every day and sit in that silence and allow the feelings that are within us to express. And more and more we will begin to feel the fullness of spirit and the incredible richness that waits for us when we say, I'm knocking, please open the door to me.
You know, Terry and Daphne have been patiently in the background supporting the energy. I just want to see if... here's my suggestion for finishing this talk off. First, see if Terry or Daphne want to contribute anything. And then... one of the most amazing shows that I did with Carla, it was a number of months ago, and I always wanted to do this again, is where Carla started casting angels out into the audience and to work with people.
People were asking for them. There was a woman that called in to ask for an angel. And so I offered her, I said, okay, and I went within to... my favorite angel, and I said, well, Rosie, do you have an angel for this person? And she said, okay, his name is George. And I went back on the air, and I said, okay, here's your angel. Now, remember, you have to ask for this angel. His name is George. This lady wrote in, and I don't know, was it a dog, her favorite dog, but it just died. His name is George. So it blew her away.
Well, Would you like to do that tonight? You have the energy to do it?
Well, if somebody needs an angel, we need to have... We can't just cast out angels. That's not the way the thing works.
We will open the line up, and we'll go for...
First talk to Daphne and Terry, because they're far wiser than I am, sure. Well, and they deserve a chance.
They have angels to cast out the people, but we've never done it. You did it, and it was quite successful. And, you know, one of the things Carla and I have been discussing, and if you send me an email, it'll encourage us to do this, is to do a series of maybe a month's worth of Saturday sessions, 2 hours long, where we take the raw material apart, like we're doing here, and try to make it more accessible. And I'm sure we can include some angel throwing on that. And we would charge for it. Not a lot, but charge for the whole series. And send me an email if that is appealing to you. You know, we're not going to charge a lot, never charge a lot for this stuff, but something to justify spending 4 Saturday mornings, 2 hours to do it. And Daphne and Terry, Daphne, would you like to share anything?
Well, I'd like to thank Carla for being here and for heralding in our 2013 season. Carla, it's so wonderful. You're such an inspiration. You're such a bedrock. You're such, for me, you know, you have been steadfast. And I'd like to just acknowledge and send my heartfelt love and my own personal appreciation to you. God bless you, my sister.
God bless you, too.
And Terry.
Yes. I really love hearing what happened back then, because I only heard about it from a distance before. And so I like hearing about the things, too, even before that, about the raw material and about Don. That's, I watched the video, and it's like he's really amazing. And it's like Carla laid down track that helped ground this whole thing. So I'd like to thank her.
I love you.
All right. Now, does anyone want to volunteer? Now, Carla, when they volunteer to have an angel cast towards them, should they give a reason why they want it or just ask for it?
No. I think almost all of us need help in feeling safe. You know, that feeling of safety that doesn't come from the outside. Feeling safe in this world and feeling like somebody really, really, really loves them. That is what these angels do. They don't do anything but that. They want to love you. They want to help you feel safe. They want to be with you. And they need to be asked. They're very much free will oriented people, and they need to be asked not just once but every day. Will you be with me? Please be with me. And thank you so much. They need to be asked so that they don't infringe on free will. And once they're asked, the feeling of love and safety that they offer is just very intense. So I don't think there's a soul in the world that doesn't have some reason to want to feel bad.
Okay. Let me open the lines up, and then I'm going to close them so people have to star 6. Let me just see.
Open it. You can star 6 right now.
When? It's Morgan.
Morgan, yes.
Oh. Press star 6.
Actually, I was opening up all the lines for just a moment, okay? Just to hear, let me just say, Hang on, don't do anything, Hives. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
We have one person.
I'm here.
Morgan in California, I'm here.
Okay. Any of you want an angel thrown your way from Carla?
Absolutely. Oh, what a gift.
Okay. Now I'm going to mute you now, Morgan.
Okay.
And now you can unmute yourself. Do star six.
Okay.
We hear you.
I'm here, Dom. Thank you.
And Carla, she shouldn't say what she wants it for. She just says she wants one. That's it. Okay.
In my mind, I believe that this was meant to be. Carla, I would be honored to have whatever you can send me. I was even going to call and ask if you do readings.
I do readings, not just now because of the pain.
Right.
Hopefully that'll
this is the first time I've heard you, and I am so impressed with your depth of soul and your honesty and your caring. If you were to send me a bobby pin, I would be honored.
I love it. Okay, let me ask Rosie here. Hang on. I'm
yes.
In the inner. All right, Rosie's going to send you a red-haired angel. His name is Morgan.
That runs in my family, wow. Now I know it's real. Oh, wow. I'm not kidding.
I'm so delighted to be with you.
Oh.
Happy.
Does the angel have a name I can call it?
Morgan?
Yes.
That's her name.
He was 25, and he was taken at an early time, and he chose to become an angel. That's a possibility if you don't ever want to incarnate again. He chose to be an angel.
Oh, I'm honored. Oh, wow. And I will ask for him every day and every
good,
night.
Good. Well, you will feel him.
Oh, what a blessing.
Lean into it.
What a blessing. Thank you, Carla. Thank you so much. I'm going to say a prayer and light a little candle for you.
Oh, thank you.
For whatever you want.
God bless. I just want love to abound. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you.
Let it go through me and let it go through us all. I need to go, Wynn, because I've got a date with a husband.
Uh-oh.
Patiently waiting. So.
That's our only angel for the day, then, huh?
The only angel for today.
All right.
I'm honored. Thank you.
I'm sorry, but
you guys who want angels, email me if you'd like those Saturday sessions, and we'll certainly include
some
angel sharing as part of the session. And I'm sorry we didn't start it earlier. And I know I got everyone's hopes up. Morgan was close to the gate. So congratulations, Morgan.
And honored to be there. Thank you.
And I'm honored to have Carla here.
Yes, and Daphne, yeah.
Daphne and Terry.
Yes.
But this show has been our ongoing series. And Morgan, remember that we have a whole bunch of Carla talks on the Spirit Channel that you can download.
Okay. Yes, I will.
And if you resonate with Carla, you'll get a lot out of them because we have always a wonderful energy in our energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She has reached the highest of humanhood, I think.
That's all right. Between reading in between my sci-fi and my romances. Let's face it, I'm a bozo. But thank you so much. I know what you're saying, and I do love you very much. Goodbye, everybody. God bless.
Okay, everyone's open. If you want to say goodbye to Carla.
Bye, Carla.
Thank you, Carla.
Bye, Carla.
Bye, Carla.
Bye.
Bye, Carla.
Thank you.
God bless.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Send you some healing for your spine.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Daphne.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you, Daphne.
Thank you,
Terry.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Terry.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Wynn.
Love to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Wynn.